from the nation's capital, this is D.C. Public Safety. I'm your host, Leonard Sipes. The topic today, ladies and gentlemen, prisoner reentry and the arts. We try to bring all perspectives to the issue of offender reentry. This will be our third program with the arts community. By our microphones is Kristen Jackson. She is the connectivity director for the Woolly Mammoth Theater Company here in Washington, D.C. Also before our microphones, Teresa Hodge. She is the founder and director of innovation and strategy for Mission Launch. And we also have Justin McCarthy. He is the communications coordinator for Woolly Mammoth. And to Kristen and Teresa and Justin, welcome to DC Public Safety.
Thanks, Len.
Thank you.
What is Woolly Mammoth, Justin?
So Woolly Mammoth is a nonprofit theater company in Washington, D.C. We are currently in our 35th full season of operation.
You guys have been around forever.
Yeah, that's right.
With a great reputation.
Well, thanks very much. And a lot has changed in those 35 years. But one thing that sort of remained constant, and I guess this is the easiest way to sort of illustrate what we do that separates us from most theater companies out there, is to say that all of our plays have a sort of civic conversation around them.
Mm-hmm.
They all address social, cultural, or political issues.
Mm-hmm. Why Woolly Mammoth?
Oh, that's a great question.
Yes, it is a great question.
Well, there's a story behind that. Our founding artistic director and the partner with whom we founded the company, they were up late one night brainstorming potential, theater names. And in the morning, they woke up and they found Woolly Mammoth Theater Company written on a cocktail napkin.
There you go.
And so it was a sign. I guess you could say the inspiration there is that the idea is that we're sort of nomadic, like the woolly mammoths of yore, traveling from place to place and telling our stories like any paleontologist would tell you what woolly mammoth
there
did.
You go. All right. Lights, Rise, One Grace is the name of the play that's currently running, which is the idea behind the radio show today. It's running now through April 26th at Woolly Mammoth. Woolly Mammoth.
Almost. Two O's.
W-O-L-L-Y-M.
So it'd be W-O-O-L-L-Y.
Oh, W-O-O-L-L-Y-M-A-N-N-M-M-O-T-H.
Len, you didn't tell me this is going to be a spelling test.
.net. Okay, cool. But I do want people to connect to the theater company because, again, it's a large, rather established theater company, and this is an amazing play, Lights, Rise, One Grace. Kristen, you're going to tell me a little bit about that?
I sure will. So Lights Rise on Grace is a play written by Chad Beckham, and it is actually part of a rolling world premiere, our production, and this is through the New Play Network, the National New Play Network.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you don't catch it here at Woolly, you can also check it out at StageWorks in Tampa, Florida, and the Azuka Theater in Philadelphia.
So this is going to travel from city to city. That's great.
The play, well, this particular production is unique to Woolly.
Okay.
But essentially what the play is about is three young people from sort of the inner city, and they are trying to sort of grapple with these questions of race and sexuality,
mm-hmm.
Family, and what are the families that you're born into versus the families that you create?
Mm-hmm.
And one of the sort of big inciting events in this play is that Large, one of the characters, ends up incarcerated.
Mm-hmm.
And when he returns home, he's sort of having to deal with these challenges of, how he's changed following his incarceration and how to sort of reintegrate back into the life he had before.
Which is always difficult, and that's one of the reasons that mm-hmm. we have Teresa here, Teresa Hodge, founder, director of innovation and strategy for Mission Launch. Teresa, you've been caught up in the criminal justice system before.
I have. I actually served a 70-month federal prison sentence.
Mm-hmm.
I was at Alderson, West Virginia, a little mm-hmm. bit different than the character because based upon how the story looks, I previewed it, it appears that he probably went to state prison and I went to a federal prison. And there
right.
is a difference between the two.
Well, we should clarify for everybody throughout the country that's listening to this that since the Reorganization Act in 2000 in Washington, D.C., you can violate D.C. code here in the District of Columbia, the nation's capital, but you are sent to a federal prison.
Right.
So, but most people, you're right, the vast majority of people who are incarcerated in this country go to state prisons. So right. you went to a federal prison.
I went to a federal prison. I'm actually a Maryland resident.
Right.
And so my case was a Maryland case, but it was also a federal case.
Okay.
So.
And so what is your connection to this play, Lights Rise on Grace?
On tomorrow evening, I will be moderating a panel discussion. We will have, with me, there will be four other people who've been to prison.
Mm-hmm.
And after the play, we're going to discuss the realities of going to prison and just maybe answer some of the questions that the audience might have as it relates to, was this, you know, some of the scenarios that came forth on stage, how real is that?
Why is it important that the arts community address the issue of people coming out of the prison system? Everybody has their own perspective. I mean, I could talk to cops. I could talk to people at corrections. I could talk to politicians. I could talk to community members. I could talk to people caught up in the criminal justice system themselves. And everybody's going to bring a different perspective to the issue of people coming out of the prison system. What does the arts community bring to this discussion that's new and unique?
Part of what I think the arts community brings to this discussion, and part of what I know Woolly Mammoth tries to bring to this discussion, is ensuring that there are folks coming to see the show
mm-hmm.
for whom these issues and these stories are either personally or professionally meaningful.
Mm-hmm.
And we use our stories to really sort of open the hearts of folks.
Right.
And I think that through the work that we do both on stage and also in fostering dialogue, what we call sort of explosive engagement, that we're able to create understanding, we're able to foster community, and we're able to change people's hearts in a way that may not otherwise be possible.
One of the interesting things about doing this show is I talk to lots of people who were once caught up in the criminal justice system. And these are people who step out of the norm. They create their own businesses. They create their own podcasts. They create their own manuals. They do community public speaking. And I have to remind myself from time to time, that's 0.1% of the 700,000 people coming out of the prison system. The overwhelming majority of the people coming out of the prison systems every year throughout the United States have no voice. So I would imagine this brings an issue that most people feel uncomfortable about talking about, correct?
Right.
I definitely, one of the reasons why I do what I do, I am a person who advocates and I speak because I want to show what prison looks like.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't always look like what we think.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that that's very important that we begin to humanize who's going into prison and who's coming home. It is a very tough topic. People, it makes you uncomfortable. And it's a complicated and complex topic. And there's many paths that take people to prison.
Right.
And so it's important that we understand all the various paths that are going to be necessary for people when they come home from prison as well.
But you end up, the arts community ends up through either photography or video or in terms of this particular play, Lights Rise on Grace. You provide a voice to people who essentially see themselves as voiceless. You provide a conduit to have a discussion that most people don't really care about. The only thing that they hear about people caught up in the criminal justice system is what they hear on the evening news, mm-hmm. what they see on local television, what they read about in the newspaper, mm-hmm. that ex-offender does something horrendous and goes back to prison for another 20, 25 years. Mm-hmm. That's their impression of people caught up in the criminal justice system. You're trying to humanize what that process is and who these people are, correct?
Yes. Well, that's probably
no, that's
a question
great. That's
for you.
Very eloquently put. I think the important thing about, the important thing about artists addressing these issues is that, you know, I mean, it certainly works the way that Kristen and Teresa put it. It certainly is wonderful for people who deal every day with these issues.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other side of the coin, for people that are just, interested in seeing a play, they'll find that they'll be engaging with these issues too.
Mm-hmm.
And so we always say that the most important, you know, part of our work doesn't happen on stage. It happens before the show and after the show when audience members are talking about the issues that we're addressing on stage.
And that's one of the reasons why, Teresa, you're going to be leading that larger discussion with people who are caught up in the criminal justice system, so they have the context of the play and they have the context of the people actually being caught up in the system.
Absolutely. The individuals that will be coming to speak with us have been home for as little as 6 months to 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so many of them are still facing some of the challenges of employment, of housing. A lot of them have been successful in getting back on their feet. But they're going to be able to share what it was like being in prison, but then also the challenges mm-hmm. of coming home. Most people who come home from prison say coming home from prison is much harder than being in prison.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I also wanted to add that Teresa and Mission Launch were very sort of vital in helping us develop was part of our lobby experience for the show.
Oh, tell me about that.
Wooly does something pretty unique in that we have these interactive lobby experiences that help sort of illuminate either like the content or the form or the issues that are embedded in our plays.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things we did for Lights Rise on Grace was a sort of life-sized re-entry game board where our audience members are able to go through some of the sort of challenges and some of the, I guess you could say, victories that we see that returning citizens are experiencing.
Mm-hmm.
So they are literally in this sort of fun and playful way, both learning about these experiences in a very personal way,
mm-hmm.
And helping them to make those connections.
But do you see the interesting aspect here in terms of the arts community? Comedy Central and Jon Stewart. So many millennials use that as their news source.
Absolutely.
I mean, they bring comedy. They use comedy as a conduit to talk about endless types of topics.
Mm-hmm.
And comedy brings a different perspective to it. Comedy brings a perspective that the average person discussing whatever it is simply wouldn't bring up. They wouldn't look at it that way. So you're looking at it new through new eyes, a fresh perspective. So I'm going to go back to that question. What does the arts community and what can the arts community, what do they do and what can they say to really drive home this point in a truly unique way? What is truly unique about this particular play and the arts community in terms of reentry?
What I will say is that for Wooly in general, it's really important to our artistic team that our shows be funny. And, you know, I mean, that what that does is when you have sort of comedic elements, you know, sort of, you know, in combination, in tandem with, you know, issues that are sort of difficult to discuss. You know, it makes it sort of easier to sort of engage with. It provides a sort of humanizing element and a kind of it makes it easier to sort of connect.
And you can get away with much more than you can in a straight discussion.
That's right.
On the issue. I mean, I've been interviewed by dozens and dozens of radio talk shows. And so I have to represent a particular point of view. But with the arts community, you know, you're free to say whatever it is that you want. So
yeah.
What is it that you want to say that is not being said by those of us in the criminal justice system? Teresa, I'm going to put that in your lap.
Okay. Well, I think after watching this play, I think that the audience will walk away feeling like this could have happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a very relatable moment.
Mm.
And this
a shared experience.
Extremely shared experience.
Okay.
And so I think that makes it a little bit easier for people to understand prison reentry, when you understand that what took place, and I don't want to give a whole spoiler alert on the play itself, but when you actually consider the path that led this person to prison, it was a relatively easy path.
Mm-hmm.
And the court system didn't take into consideration the history of his family and some other circumstances
mm-hmm.
that kind of led him there. And I think people will walk away thinking about this long after they've viewed the play itself.
So it's something that's going to stick around. It's something that's going to create a cathartic moment for them, possibly.
Possibly.
And something that they're willing to discuss with their friends and neighbors. So it transcends just the audience. It goes way beyond that.
And I think the next time you pick up the newspaper or you look at the news, you'll think about it.
Mm-hmm. And maybe that's the most important thing. If our only reference is what we're seeing on television and reading in the newspaper, if that's our only reference to quote-unquote criminals, mm-hmm. people caught up in a criminal justice system, this gives a new and fresh perspective.
Absolutely. When I often talk to people and I tell them what I do with Mission Launch, I'm amazed that they talk about those people. They don't think I'm one of those people when they're talking to me.
Right.
And then after I let them go on, and then I'll say, well, I'm actually one of the people I'm talking about.
Right.
And so I think it's just really important. I'm excited that we were invited to be able to bring five people who've been to prison so that the audience will not only get to see the actors, but they will actually be able to interact with five individuals who I'm confident if they walked down the street, they wouldn't have known.
We're halfway through the program. A really interesting discussion on prison reentry in the arts community. Before our microphones today is Kristen Jackson. She is the connectivity director for the Woolly Mammoth Theater Company. We have Teresa Hodge. She is founder and director of innovation and strategy for Mission Launch, and Justin McCarthy, a communications coordinator for Woolly Mammoth. We're talking about the play Lights Rise on Grace, running now at Woolly Mammoth to April 26. And let's see if I can stumble through the website without screwing this up. www.woollymammoth.net. You're shaking your heads?
It's almost. So the two O's and the two L's is...
Oh, goodness gracious. www.woollymammoth.net.
I work there, and I mess it up every day.
Just search for Woolly Mammoth, ladies and gentlemen. Woolly Mammoth in Washington, D.C. How many Woolly Mammoths can there be?
Now, right.
I have this group.
We're the only one.
I have this group in New York. He said, Leonard, you can't pronounce a name to save your life. Now they're going to say you can't give out a website address to save your life.
No, this is hard. You know, I mean, it's those two O's and those two L's.
Oh, Lord. Okay. So I think I'm getting very controlled answers from the three of you in terms of what the arts community can provide to this. When I sit down and talk with people caught up in the criminal justice system before these microphones, as I said before hitting the record button, the best shows are always after I stop it. And then they let loose with all of this emotion about how people just don't get it when it comes to people coming out of the prison system, what it means for them, what it means for their kids, that, you know, you take a look at some stats and like one out of every 30 people is currently that you're going to come into contact with is currently involved in the criminal justice system. And if you expound upon that, people who have been arrested and people caught up in the criminal justice system before, it's certainly criminologists have said one out of 20. So you're interacting every single day with people caught up in the criminal justice system. So what does that mean to the arts community to have so many people caught up in a criminal justice system interacting with us, our family, our kids every single day? What does the arts community have to say to that?
Well, I think this is a right now topic. Prison is an important topic. It's a very expensive topic to our communities. And I think I find that people suffer in silence. Nobody wants to talk about it. Nobody wants to say, I have a family member in prison. I have a son in prison. I have a daughter in prison. But what I've discovered is when I reveal that I've been to prison, everybody lets me know about their secrets, too.
There you go. Because so many of us know people in our family and our friends who have been caught up in the criminal justice system. It's not all that unusual.
Absolutely. I sat in the theater last week, and so there were 100-plus people there. If the statistics are right, five people had probably been to prison.
Oh, probably more than that. Out of the 100 of being caught up in the criminal justice system, the theater has led the discussion in terms of gay rights. The theater has led the discussion in the arts community, has led the discussion in terms of rights for women, rights for African Americans, rights for just about every group that is marginalized within the country. So the theater community has had that powerful voice over the sense of decades and has contributed mightily to the discussion of issues that people find a hard time discussing. So as you said, Justin, you bring a sense of humor to it, and that allows you to talk about things that are ordinarily uncomfortable.
I think so. It sort of lets people, have these moments where they say, okay, it's not just me and criminals. You know, mm-hmm. it's like, you know, I mean, it allows for this space of connection that you don't see. And especially, I mean, with an issue like this, where it's sort of socially kind of, you know, I mean, it's not something that you discuss, you know, if you're someone who's affected by it. We're kind of opening the door to that discussion, and it's something that we try to do, you know, I mean, in our shows, which we don't just sort of produce to entertain people. We're trying to sort of model a form of civic discourse mm-hmm. with what we do, and particularly with our plays that address issues like this, like incarceration and reentry.
One of the things that Christian said is that it is a topic that is emerging as a point of discussion. It is a topic that more people are feeling more comfortable talking about, simply because governors in every state in this country have taken a look at their overall budgets and said, what percentage goes into corrections? And, you know, can we have an impact on that? People from both the right and left end of the spectrum are now supporting a discussion and alternatives to incarceration and a different way of doing things. So this is a discussion that's building momentum, but yet the average person out there, it's not like, well, gee, how did the Nationals do last night? What do you think the weather is going to be tomorrow? By the way, how's your son in prison?
Yeah, that's not usually what follows how the Nationals were doing, that's
yes.
for sure.
Yes. But I mean, do you understand? I mean, as you just said, Kristen, a little while ago, this is a conversation that a lot of people feel uncomfortable with because they're not quite sure who those people in prison mm-hmm. are. They see, the average person sees themselves as completely separate from mm-hmm. those people locked up.
Right.
They don't see any connection at all to those individuals. And we're talking about 1.5 million people in prison, another 500,000 in jail. So we're talking about 2 million people who are behind bars today, and we're also talking about another 5 million who are under community supervision today. So we're talking about 7 million human beings today, a snapshot in time, with about 600,000 to 700,000 coming out of prison every year, many more than that coming out of the jail system. So you're talking about just an enormous amount of human beings.
That's right.
So now it seems like it's appropriate time for the arts community to get involved in this and lead this discussion, as the arts community have led discussions in other difficult topics throughout the years, correct?
Absolutely. I mean, we believe in theater as a tool for social change.
Right.
Theater as a site for examining and understanding everyday life. We believe that the theater can serve as a model for the sort of participatory, creative, democratic society that we want and that we aspire to.
Mm-hmm. So I
certainly believe that, you know, as arts leaders, as arts makers, it is our responsibility
mm-hmm.
To, you know, use the platforms that we have and work with our partners who are, you know, carrying, who are engaged in the fight already, and find ways to use these different sites that we have access to in order to, you know, bring folks together and change their way of thinking. I mean, being here in Washington, D.C., like, that is an incredible opportunity. Because, you know, Woolly Mammoth, we welcome folks from all sides of the political spectrums.
Sure.
And I think that by providing the opportunity for these really diverse audiences to get together and to hear from folks who are passionate about these issues and really think about their own positionality, it's a phenomenal opportunity. And it's what drives us, I think, as a theater company to do the work that we do.
You know who I think does a wonderful job in terms of social change in the arts?
Mm.
Chris Rock.
Yes.
I love
I agree.
Watching his concerts because he'll get involved in issues all over over the spectrum. Issues that make you laugh and issues that make you feel terribly uncomfortable, but issues that make you think, wait a minute, he may have a point here. And so I think that's what the arts community does. You all have leverage that the rest of us in government and we have to be so careful and we have to be, you know, so diplomatic. And the arts community is just out there saying, look, this is something that you need to look at. Lights Rise on Grace, I would imagine, would be that sort of play, something that people really need to look at, but at the same time enjoy themselves in terms of the experience.
It is. And you'll see these sort of, you know, humorous, relatable elements happening alongside these really kind of dangerous and scary moments in the play. And I'm thinking of one in particular when the character who becomes incarcerated, the first person who becomes incarcerated that the audience encounters, he meets someone in his first few days in prison who's been in the prison for a long time. And their first interaction is so very funny and comic because it's just the awkwardness of two people meeting for the first time. But of course it's prison, so there's also like the threat of violence and this awful kind of, you know, this awful kind of context hanging over it. And so you can look at it in sort of one of two ways, you know, but of course the audience ends up laughing along because it's something that's relatable and something you can kind of understand. But then all of a sudden these two people aren't just like, you know, criminals that have no connection to you. They're people just like you, and so it's this incredible moment, and the play is full of moments just like that.
Teresa, somebody's been caught up in the criminal justice system. What is it that people need to understand about people caught up in the criminal justice system that they just need to understand it? It's something that they don't think of on a day-to-day basis. They need to understand it. What do they need to understand?
I think that first, we just need to understand that they're people. And I think, you know, right across the board, that's just an important piece. There are individuals who've maybe made a mistake and their worst moment was put on trial. And going to prison is very scary for the person. It's often traumatizing for the person to be in prison, to be away from their family, to be kept away from society, to be kept away from technology. It is incredibly difficult to come home from prison when we live in such a technologically savvy age, and every 3 months, technology is doing something new and different. I think that we have to be patient, and we have to try to find creative ways to engage people, because it's very expensive for people to come home and get back on their feet. I found very few people who were sitting in prison wondering when they were going to come back to prison. But yet I'm always baffled by the number of, for me, women who I engaged and encountered while I was in prison who had real strong dreams and hopes for their future, and 6 months later I find out that they're back in prison. It makes me stop and wonder what happened. Where did a system break down? Where were they unable to latch to a community? And how were they unable to kind of attach to that last good thought they had, which was in prison?
I can't imagine a more complex set of human emotions when you do come out of the prison system, because you know, women have kids that they want to reunite with. You have a drug habit that you've got to conquer. Many people caught up in the criminal justice system have mental health problems. They have to come out and find work, and yet people turn them down because of their criminal histories. You have the stereotype. I mean, if a person comes back and say, you know, hi, I've been spent the last 5 years in prison, you know, what does that mean to the social circle? And does that repulse people? Does that intrigue people? I mean, these are just incredible human dimensions that just crash out of these 600,000 or 700,000 people on a year-to-year basis when they come out of that prison system. The emotions are raw. The issues are real.
Oh, absolutely. And you're seeing, you know, what you're talking about, Len, is all of these you know, these just this incredible you know, laundry list of difficulties and challenges that are facing, you know, reentering citizens.
And I sometimes wonder, with all of the things that people have to deal with when they come out of the prison system, I mean, I had a woman offender sitting by these microphones basically saying, it is almost impossible to do what everybody wants me to do. It is almost impossible to succeed. And sometimes I get the sense that we stack the cards tremendously, which is one of the reasons why Lights on Grace, that is running now, through Woolly Mammoth here in Washington, D.C., running now through April 26, becomes such an important point. And I'm glad we've had this possibility, this opportunity to discuss the play and discuss Woolly Mammoth and discuss reentry. By our microphones today has been Kristen Jackson. She is Connectivity Director for the Woolly Mammoth Theater Company, Teresa Hodge, Founder and Director of Innovation and Strategy for Mission Launch, and Justin McCarthy. He is Communications Coordinator, for Woolly Mammoth. I'm going to try this one more time. Just go ahead and Google Woolly Mammoth in D.C. www.woollymammoth.net. I got it right for the first time at the end of the program. Ladies and gentlemen, this is D.C. Public Safety. We appreciate your comments. We even appreciate your criticisms, and we want everybody to have themselves a very, very pleasant day.